Blog Talk Radio.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
Today. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants us to sacrifice all for him, just to give him everything, our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength, everything, the praise, our worship, our lives. God wants your life. He wants it all. So I just love that song going today. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons, and I praise God, for this is the day that he has made. And I am truly rejoicing and being glad. And I'm just so excited about God today, so excited about this day, so excited about the Lord and all that he's done and all that he is doing in the lives of his people, but especially in my life, especially in my life. You know, we have to take time out and give God thanks for what he's doing right now, right here in our very own lives. And I just thank God for life. I thank God for life. As I was sitting here in my house, in my home, in my kitchen with my husband, having a conversation about the Lord, I was just so blessed, you know, just so blessed that we were able to sit and dialogue about God and dialogue about how good God is. You know, God is just so good. And one of the things that we were talking about was the fact that God has continually chased after his people. You know, he has continually come after us, even when we were going in the opposite direction. You know, he had a plan for the people of Israel he called them and chose them through the loins of Abraham to be his people. And, you know, he set a plan in motion that he would cover them, that he would bless them, that he would be their God and they would be his people and they would have this wonderful life, you know, as the people of God. And continually, over and over and over again, these people went away from God and strayed away from God and went after other gods. And I tell you, it just got to the point where God just threw up his hands. But it got to that point because over and over and over and over again, God sent the prophets to speak to the people and tell the people to turn back to him. And over and over again, they continually went after other gods. All he wanted to do was be their only God, be their God, and let them be his people. And then there were so many blessings attached to that. He wanted to go back to Eden. God always, his goal has been and continually is to get us back to Eden. And somebody has to hear that on today. God has a great plan for your life. And all that God is saying is, will you line up with my plan? Will you do my will? Will you let me take you back to Eden? Will you let me take you back to the original concept, the original mindset that I had when I first created you? God created you for his glory. He didn't create you for you to be messed up and mixed up, addicted and turned down and lost and confused. He created you to be victorious. He created you to be prosperous. God created you and me for his glory, you know, that he would get the glory out of our lives and that we would praise him for that glory. It's just plain and simple, and God is just speaking on today, and he's saying, will you give me your all? Will you come back to me? Will you love me with your whole heart? Will you love me with everything in you? Amen. Will you serve me? Will you worship me? Will you praise me in spite of what's going on in your life? Will you turn to me? Will you consult with me? Will you trust me? And that's all he's saying to us on today is that he wants us to come back to him, amen, and trust him and love on him and abide with him and walk with him and talk with him and have that relationship with him. God wants us to have that relationship with him. And my husband and I were talking about this on this morning. It was just such a blessing to just fellowship and talk about the Lord and talk about his marvelous plan for our lives and how he just wants to bless us. You know, so many people focus on the curses, you know, the don'ts of the Bible. But, you know, when we think about our Bible, when we think about the covenant, our book of covenant, because the Bible is our book of covenant, and when we think about the covenant that God has established with us, the old covenant and the new, when we think about that and we really look at it, it's not even about what God is trying to take from us. It's more about what God is trying to get to us. You know, and we have to know that God is trying to get something really, really good to us. God is just, he just wants to bless us. Amen. God just wants to bless us. And it is the devil that would make you think something contrary to that. Anything contrary to that is not from the Lord. It's not from God. It's from the devil. When the devil wants to make you think that God's trying to deprive you of something, that God doesn't want you to have any fun, that God wants to just take all the fun out of their life, that's the devil. Because what the devil considers to be fun and what the devil considers to be good is really no good for us. Amen. It's not conducive to the life that God has for us. God has a marvelous, marvelous life planned out for us. And the plan of the devil has always been to take that life away from us. You know, Jesus talks about it in John 10:10 when he says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that you might have what? Life, and have that life more abundantly. And when we think about that, when you think that, I mean, really, just take a minute to think about that. When you think about that life and life more abundantly, the word for life there is Zoe, Z-O-E. And Jesus is saying, I came for you to have not just any kind of life, but I came for you to have a prosperous life. I came for you to have a blessed life, a peaceful life, a supernatural life above and beyond what you can ask or imagine. He said, I came for you to have the kind of life that you were created. God created you to have a blessed life, and the devil gets in the way of that. He gets in the way of that because he tries to come and stop you from having that kind of a life. He wants to get you caught up in fear. The devil wants to get you caught up in doubt. He wants you to get caught up in emotions. He wants to get you caught up in sin. So the devil's job is to deprive you, while God's purpose and his plan is to bless you. And we can't get it twisted. You can't get it twisted. We have to realize that, you know, when people start coming against you, when people start talking about you and trying to put you down, when people start persecuting you and stabbing you in the back or in the heart, you know, because a lot of people are not even stabbing you in the back. They're doing stuff to your face now. They're stabbing you in the heart. When people start trying to put you in your place or keep you in your place, whatever they deem that to be, some people have their own opinion of what you can and cannot do and who you are or who you are not. Some people have their own opinion, and they want to put you in their little box according to their opinion, but they're not God. God, they're not the ones in control of your life. God is God. And as long as God says that he created you for greatness, that he created you in his image, that he has a great plan for you to prosper you and not to harm you, that he set aside good works in advance for you to do, as long as God says that he's going to use you mightily, that he called you to be whatever he called you to be, then that's all that matters. You know, people's opinions of you really don't matter. What really matters is what God has said about you and God's plan for you and what you decide to do with that, your reaction to God's plan, your reaction to what God has said about you. That's really all that matters, what God has said and what you're going to do about it. And you have to make up your mind that you are going to line up with God's plan and not give any attention to what the devil wants or what the devil thinks, and no matter who the devil is using, because the truth of the matter is the devil would use people that you respect. He would use people that are in a position that you respect. You know, he would use people that seem to have power in your life, that seem to have power like a boss or a ministry leader. The devil would use people, even those who are close to you, people in your family, your spouse. The devil would use people, and he would find a foothold to try to get in and use those people to bring you down, to hurt you. See, when the devil wounds you emotionally, his purpose is to stop you from advancing forward in the things of the kingdom of God. He wants to stop you from praying. He wants to stop you from praising God. He wants to stop you from worshiping. He wants to stop you. The devil wants to stop you from serving God, from going to church, from tithing. You know, the devil would do anything that he can to pull you away from the things of God. And you think about this, and I'm going to open up the phone lines, but think about this. Think about this. When the attack comes, normally it gets you to the point where you're discouraged, but a lot of the time, the attack comes in the area of your walk with God. Normally, the attack will come through church hurt or rejection of your ministry or something crazy that might happen, even in your monies. When it comes to giving monies to the church, the attack will come on your finances, or the attack will come on a Sunday morning, or while you're getting ready to go to church, you'll have an argument with your spouse or something like that. normally the attack comes when it's pertaining to you being busy for the kingdom of God. And if it does not, if it comes outside of those parameters, it's to come and get you so discouraged with everyday life. To come to get you so discouraged with everyday life that you don't feel like doing nothing. You know, when you're strong in the Lord, the devil will send the attack from every single area, from the left, the right, you know, above and beneath. And it seems like this pressure comes in. And you, you know, the devil just is like telling you to give in, give in, give in. And the more you resist the devil, amen, it seems like sometimes the more the pressure comes, the more that he intensifies the attack. But the Bible tells us, James tells us, to resist the devil and he will flee. James tells us in the Bible to draw near to God and God will draw near to us. So we have to realize, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hearing means not just hearing with my ear gates, but understanding in my heart, understanding with the wisdom of my heart. In other words, I need to understand this. This is what we need to understand about warfare, spiritual warfare. When the devil comes, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have an understanding of that, right? Then we have to understand also that the persecution will come, as the Bible says in the book of John, that persecution will come for the word's sake. No, I believe that's Mark 4. Mark 4 says the word comes, but right after that, persecution will come for the word's sake. Amen. Because you got the word, and before you can get that word rooted and planted in your heart and get a good understanding of the word, the devil's going to try to steal that word. Amen. He's going to try to choke out the word. Amen. He's going to try to get rid of the word so that you don't have anything to fight with. Because remember, understand that the word is your the sword of the spirit. Amen. That's your weapon. Amen. So we understand that the devil is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and persecution is coming. When we get a good word and we grab that word, persecution is coming. But we have to have an understanding of the fact that during those times of persecution, if we resist the devil, if we resist him and his tactics, even though he may intensify the attack and turn up the pressure, eventually he has to flee. My God. Eventually, the devil's going to have to leave you alone. Eventually, as you resist the devil has to flee. Amen. The devil has to flee. The Bible tells us that, and we get an understanding of the word. And then it tells us at the same time that while we're yet resisting the devil, to do what? Draw near to God. And God will draw near to us. Amen. Hallelujah. So as God draws near to us, guess what? If we're resisting the devil, as we're resisting the devil and we're drawing near to God, amen, we're drawing near to our backup. Amen. God is, you know, he's our protector. He's our protector. Amen. He fights for us. He fights for us. When we are weak, his power is great. Amen. His power is even made more stronger in our weakness. So as I resist the devil to the point where, you know what, I'm just resisting. You don't even have to be fighting the devil. You're just resisting the power of the devil. You know what, devil, I'm not going to let you make me stop going to church. I'm not going to let you make me give up on my marriage, on my ministry, on my child. Devil, I'm not going to let you make me quit. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to resist you. And resisting the devil means that you are pressing, like Paul says, I press towards the mark. I'm pressing, and pressing towards the mark, that means I'm pressing towards the things of God. I'm pressing to get closer to God. I'm pressing. I'm yet pressing. I'm pressing. I'm not going to just sit here and die. Come on, somebody. You're not going to just sit there and die and let the devil walk all over you and let the devil steal from you what God has said is rightfully yours. You're going to resist the devil, amen, and as you resist the devil, you draw near to God, and God is right there to back you up. He is right there in his power to back you up. God is there to back you up. And when the devil sees God, as you draw near to God, when the devil sees God, what did the demons do? Anytime Jesus came on the scene, they were terrified. They came and knelt down in front of him, worship him, you know, and said, what is it that you want? Have you come to cast us out? Have you come to torment us? The demons knew who Jesus was. The devil knows who Jesus is, amen, and he knows who God is. And when you draw near to God, you resist the devil. The devil has to flee, amen. God will draw near to you. He will uphold you with his right hand. He will protect you. He will keep you, amen, hallelujah. He will bring you out of that storm. He will bring you out of that trial, amen. After you have suffered for a little while, listen, you might be suffering right now, but guess what? After you have suffered for a little while, the Bible says that God will establish you. He will perfect you, my God. He will stand you on your own 2 feet, and you will be stronger, mightier, more powerful, more wise, more anointed than you were before this trial came. So you might, I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I just started talking, and this is the direction that I went. But you might be in the middle of a trial right now. You might be feeling the fire right now. You might be feeling the burn, my God, from resisting the devil right now, but you just keep on keeping on in Jesus. You keep resisting the devil. He's already whipped. The devil, his behind is already whipped. He's already defeated. He has no power. The only power that the devil has, the only power that your adversary has is the power that you give him. When you refuse to fight. You got to fight. You have to fight. There is no choice. I often tell people I grew up in Newark, and all my life I've had to fight. Amen. I've been a warrior all my life, you know, and I fought physical fights, fist fights. Amen. And you know what? I'm still fighting. I refuse to come into the kingdom of God. I don't know how people come into the kingdom of God and get wimpified. We get wimpified. We can't fight. We act like the cat got a tongue. We act like we're scared. We're too timid. We're walking around on tippy toes. But listen, there's nothing wrong. Listen. There is nothing wrong with calling a spade a spade, doing it respectfully, you know, and saying, you know what? You're wrong. You know, the Bible says if we have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, that we should go to that brother or sister. We should go to them and say, you know what? You've been treating me wrong. You know, it's just wrong the way you've been treating me. I just tapped onto something because I felt that thing in my spirit. The devil just got mad with me. I'm telling you, this is Bible, and we don't want to talk about this. Amen. We don't want to talk about the fact that you have a blood-bought right and you have an obligation to go and tell your sister and tell your brother that they are wrong, that they are treating you wrong. You know, but, you know, I think fear has a lot to do with that, that we are afraid of. I think for me, when I was being treated wrongly by a sister in the faith, and I didn't say anything to her, I think, and I know that the reason I didn't say anything is because I didn't want to go into the flesh. There were two things. One, I didn't want to go into the flesh and knock her out. You know, I thought I was going to lose my salvation. I thought if I said something that I might hit her, or because that's what I would do in the world. If somebody came against me in the world, I would hit them. You know, if they came in my face talking all kind of junk like they wanted to fight, my mama always taught me to hit them first before they hit me. So I would either hit them. I wasn't much of a cursor, but sometimes when I got mad, profanity would come out, and I didn't want to tell people off or seem like I was sinning by confronting, in my confronting, you know. So I would never confront people when they did me wrong, but I suffered more for not confronting them, because then I had to be phony. I felt like I was being phony by loving on them, even though they were treating me bad. I felt like I was being fake, a hypocrite, and I also felt like, I just didn't feel like I was being real, and I also felt like I was powerless, you know, like, my God, this person, and I felt the hurt even more because these people were hurting me, and I couldn't say anything about it, or I wouldn't say anything about it. But the Bible says if you have an aught with your brother, aught with your sister, that you should go and you should tell that sister or that brother what's going on. And if they receive it and they repent, that's fine. But if they don't, then you need to escalate it. And we don't do that. The truth of the matter is we don't do that in the kingdom of God. What we do is we talk about it, we pray about it, but we really don't confront. We don't say anything about it. And I think it's high time that we go back to the Bible. And we just, because how can you help somebody to get to see their own stinking self? How can you help a sister or brother who's doing you wrong to see their own stinking ways if you don't say anything? It's like being married to somebody and that person is hurting you and you sitting back crying all the time and you're mad at your husband, you're mad at your wife, but you won't say anything. That's wrong, and it's also wrong for us not to say anything when somebody hurts us. And my thing was I was scared that I was going to revert to the flesh, that I was going to lose my salvation, that I was going to do something that I was really scared that my true colors were going to come out, that maybe I wasn't as saved as I thought I was, or maybe I wasn't as holy as I thought I was, or maybe I wasn't as perfect as I wanted to be. And then I also feared rejection. Like that person would say to me, you know what, I don't care what you think anyway, you know, or the person would retaliate and say something to me that would make me say something even worse to them. So, but the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear, and it also tells us that that fear does not come from God, but it comes from the devil, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So that's just my two cents, and that's what's on my heart, that we have a lot of, and you could begin to call in 646-652-4832, and let me know your response to this or if you have something else that you want to talk about. But that's what's on my heart, that a lot of us, the devil, and I'll go all the way back to the beginning, where the devil is roaring, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, who he may destroy, get off course, get to turn away from the things of God, get to walk outside of their purpose, who he can get to sin. The devil is roaring, trying to get you to give up, trying to get you to quit. But at the same time, you have the power through your understanding of the gospel, understanding of the word. You have been equipped to resist the devil, and not only to resist the devil, but you have been equipped to draw near to God, knowing that God will back you up because he will draw near to you. And when the devil sees Jesus, he has to flee, which means that we need to kill our flesh so that we can have more Jesus in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Which means don't go kill yourself. But in other words, die to ourselves. Amen. To our selfish ways and selfish desires. And die to those emotions of fear and confusion and discouragement. So that God, Jesus can be greater in us. Amen. So that he can even increase in us. Amen. So that the anointing can increase, amen, so that the devil, when he comes, he's already, he knows he's whipped. He knows he's whipped. And even though the attack intensifies, I'm here to tell you that you can stand, because even after much persecution, God's going to establish you. He's going to bring you to a level of maturity that when the attack comes again, you'll even be more discerning and you'll know how to handle the devil before he even begins to try to attack you, amen. So you can do this, amen, you can stand. And then another part of that was that people will come against you, people that you love. The devil will use people close to you. But when those people come against you, I'm going to just exhort you to confront them. Just like you, you know, to go to them and after praying, get yourself together. Don't do it out of emotion, but to say, you know what, can we talk? And then let them know, make sure you can do it now. Don't go. Another thing I didn't want to, reason I didn't want to do it, because I would be crying when I got upset because of an injustice, I would start crying, you know. So I didn't want to look like a wimp. I would be so mad at myself for crying, but I would get so angry that I would cry, you know. So deal with that. Deal with whatever it is inside of you that needs to be dealt with, and then go to that person and say, you know what? We had a little situation the other day where I felt a certain way. And just let the people know how you feel. Deal with them in love. Let them know how you feel. especially if you have to deal with them on a regular basis, if it's a boss or if it's a ministry leader or if it's even your pastor. You know, sometimes we go away and our pastors have hurt our feelings and we don't say anything. But if you can talk to your pastor, say, you know, pastor, you know, I felt a certain way when you preached my business across. I felt like you were preaching my business across the pulpit. And a lot of the times the pastor's not preaching your business across the pulpit. They're just preaching in the spirit, dealing with stuff that needs to be dealt with, but because it's something that you counsel with the pastor about, you might feel like it's your business. Or sometimes the pastor will take a topic that they counsel with somebody about and preach it to help the whole congregation. But you can just go and talk to your pastor and say, I felt a certain kind of way when you talked about the fact that I don't tithe or whatever. And let the pastor talk to you about that. But in other words, what I'm saying, and the phone lines are open, what I'm saying is don't carry the ought in your heart. And one way not to deal with anger in an emotional way, listen to me, hear me right now. One way not to deal with anger and hurt in an emotional way is to forgive. One way not to deal with the fact that somebody has hurt you, one way not to deal with the fact that somebody has wounded you in an emotional way is to release it immediately. I forgive that person. You don't even have to say it to their face. You can say, oh, my God, that person just hurt me. I'm wounded. Ouch. And it's to just go ahead and forgive them. Just go ahead and release them. I forgive that person. I release them from my anger, and I release myself from any emotional soul ties that may be established because this person is in my heart now. Get them out of your heart. Get that person out of your heart. Release them. I forgive. I forgive so-and-so. They hurt me. They know they hurt me. Yeah, let me tell you something. People that are hurting you, they know they hurt you. That's another reason you might not want to go and say anything to them because you know they should know better, and they should know better. But you go ahead and tell them, in love, I was hurt when this happened. And give them a chance to apologize. And if they don't repent, you forgive them anyway and keep it moving. Keep it moving. Don't give nobody that much power to contaminate your anointing, to stop your flow. Don't give anybody that much power. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. I can't believe I talked for almost 30 minutes. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, Pastor Prophet. Rebecca Simmons, and the phone lines are open. I say God bless you. To Pastor Larry Sarton in the chat room, God bless you, sir. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, people know that they're hurting you. Amen. I want to say God bless you to our other guests in the chat room. God bless you to you, woman of God. I see you there. God bless you. It's good to see you. Amen. God bless you to everybody on the phone lines. Listen, my phone lines are packed. And listen, I got an announcement to make. Welcome to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show with Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Hallelujah. I know a lot of you noticed the name change. The Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. Amen. Because guess what? This is not just the Woman to Woman show. I was at a birthday party last week, and Brother Ali told me, he said, you know what? You need to include men in your show. He said, because men got issues, too, and we want to talk, too. And I said, well, men call my show. And he said, well, but we still feel like we're calling a women's show. You should change it to include men. I said, you know what? I'm going to think about that. And I thought about it, and I thought about the brothers, the men that called the show. And in honor of the men, Pastor Anthony Simmons, my husband, my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, my friend and my brother, Pastor Larry Sarton, my friend and my brother, Raymond Jones, my friend and my brother, the Apostle Stephen Amica. In honor of these men and my friend and my brother, Ali, in honor of these men, who listen to who have listened to the Women to Women show over the years and who have called in, we have changed the name of the show, and the show is the Women to Women, Woman to Man show. Hallelujah. So y'all not just listening to a woman show now. Hallelujah. This is the Women to Women, the Woman to Man show. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is now our show. Amen. And the phone lines are open for the women and the men to call in, 646-652-4832. And you all can call in and let us know your thoughts on what I was saying and the new name of the show or whatever's on your heart. But, yeah, Pastor Larry Sarton said in the chat room, he said, I like that. People know that they are hurting you. They know, you know, listen, especially Christians, you know, church hurt, they say, is the worst hurt. Christian, and I want to talk about Christian women for a minute. I'm just going to talk about Christian women for a minute. Because women, listen, women can be so catty. Women can be so catty and so vindictive. And women, and I'm not, listen, I love my sisters. I love my sisters. I've been called to minister to my sisters, but let me tell the truth. Can I tell the truth for a minute? We can be so catty, so vindictive, and so petty, and we can be so jealous of each other that we literally hurt each other out of those flaws that we have. Those are human flaws. Those are flaws. Listen, for you to say, you know, and then to take pride in being what they call a bee in the world, a bee, you know, a witch, but you put the bee there. Some women actually take pride in that, you know, and that's a shame. That's a daggone shame. I mean, it's a daggone shame, and it's a sin. It's a sin for you to know you being a witch with a B and to act like one and to call you, and to be a Christian, to call yourself a woman of God. That's wrong. It's wrong, you know, and we need to stop it. You know, you got women in leadership. You got women in the church. You got pastors' wives. You got people in the fivefold ministry, and they have not gotten rid of these character flaws. And they are people. These are people in position. These are people in the pews. And then these are Christian women who go to work, to the workplace, to the marketplace, and they have a title, and they're acting like lunatics. They're acting like they're bipolar, and they're wrecking all kinds of havoc in the marketplace and in the church. And then they want to call themselves a pastor or a prophetess or a Christian. And then they know that they are inflicting harm on people. They know they're hurting people. They're not stupid. You know, and a lot of times, this is going on. I mean, too much this is going on, and we are hurting each other. I'm talking about women right now. I know the brothers have a whole other set of issues, but we need to stop it, because you are, first and foremost, you're in sin if you're doing that. If that's you, don't hang up. Don't leave my show. Because I'm calling the spade a spade. If that's you, you need to deal with it. You just need to deal with it. You need to let God deal with it. If you're a Christian woman and you're a witch and you're out there acting crazy and they're calling you that B word behind your back or even to your face, and you look in the mirror and you know you're not right, you need to get it together. You just need to get it together. You need to check yourself. You need to check yourself, and you need to correct yourself, amen, because you are inflicting harm on your sisters. And then if you're that type of, that woman who's cursing your husband out and trying to fight your husband and trying to make your husband miserable and trying to cut him down, and he's trying to do the work of the Lord and trying to serve God, you're wrong. You're just wrong, and you need to check yourself, and you need to correct yourself, because God is not pleased, and God wants to use you. God wants to use you. That's why he gave you that position. That's why he gave you that position in the church or in the marketplace, because leadership is leadership. And whether you're answering phones or taking out the garbage or picking up garbage, whatever position God has given you, he has given you that position to make an impact in the kingdom of God. So how dare you, you know, go and represent God in this type of way? People know you're Christian, but then you're crazy. Yeah, it doesn't fit. It's an oxymoron. There's no such thing. Come on. As being a crazy Christian, come on. We as Christians need to get it together. We just need to get it together. And women, we hurt each other more than any. We always talk about the men, and he did this and he did that. I can't believe he did that. But we as women, we hurt each other, especially Christian women. My God. Do you know I've been wounded more in the church than I've ever been wounded in the world? Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that picture. You know, it's like, how can I, you know how much I cried over church hurt? Because some female hurt me? Because some female hated on me? Because some female rejected me? And it wasn't the men, but it was the women that were doing these things to me. And I heard, I cried a lot of tears. God caught them in the bottle, though. And he pulled them right back on my head for more, even more anointing. But what I'm saying is the women have hurt me, and we need to stop hurting each other. We need to stop. If a sister is beautiful and if she's cuter than you, then you know what? She's just cuter than you. Deal with it, you know. But that does not mean you have to compete with her. You're still beautiful. How can you, my God, how can you hate on somebody just because they're beautiful, just because they're getting attention? How can you hate on somebody? I'm going to take a call because I'm about to get myself in trouble. Area code 773, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show.
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you, my brother, Pastor Larry. God bless you. Thanks for calling because I was getting ready to get myself in some hot water there. I was going deeper and deeper. My goodness.
You know, Pastor, one of the challenges of walking in the call that you have is being able and willing to call it what it is and do it no matter what other folks think about it. Because I often realize that in the call that God has called me to, oftentimes people don't understand that the call I'm called to is one that will make me appear as though I'm more stern than I really am. But it's because I'm called to that office. And so oftentimes that office means that I have to bring correction, and you may not like it. And so I was listening to you, and I said, Lord, bless her, Jesus. She gets into a call full speed ahead. So, but I couldn't sit back and just listen to
Larry. Are you a speaker? Is that your phone? Are you a speaker?
No. No, I'm on the landline.
Okay, hold on with me. Hold on, let me try another line. Pastor Emmy, are you there?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback.
Hold on a second, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Pastor Emmy, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, say it. God bless you. So you said we're getting some feedback?
I don't hear it now.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'll pass it out. Yeah, I don't know what that feedback is. You're
okay.
On the landline.
Yes, I'm on the landline this time. My computer's totally off, so
I want to hear what you have to say. I know you have something to add, so we're gonna let you go ahead. Go ahead and just see if it clears up.
Okay. Yes, what I was saying was that, as I was listening to you, one of the things we have to be careful of is that in many of our churches, that there are undercover witches and warlocks that come in the church. And so let me define what a witch and a warlock is according to the scripture. Is that anytime a person tries to use manipulation or their will over someone else's will to call them to do something that's outside the guidelines of the scripture. The Bible calls that person a witch or a warlock. And oftentimes you have folks who come in church, and because the leadership does not allow them to do what they want to do, then they'll go and find someone else, and then they will use their influence to manipulate other people to turn against the leader. And one of, as a matter of fact, this topic is one of the ones I'm going to deal with tomorrow. Because here's where prophets, pastors, and leaders have to be careful. because if we're not careful, it is easy for us to go into the flesh as the flesh as well, because we are human before the call. And so our challenge, our greatest challenge is to respond like Jesus would, even though they're coming against us in our assignment. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we will allow our flesh to dictate how we respond. And the truth is, God loves them, even though they're acting crazy, as much as he loves us. And so we have to be careful to not let ourselves be caught off guard. Because the truth is, I know me, you know, and I often say this, that no one, you know, most folks in the church know the church me, but you don't know the other side of me before the call me. And that's the one, and that's the one that's still dying. You know, I tell them in a heartbeat, I ain't dead yet. You know, I still got feelings, and sometimes my flesh, if I ain't careful, if you come at me, my first response is to move you out of the way. And unfortunately, as leaders, God doesn't give us that authority to retaliate in our flesh. And so we have to make sure that when we respond, now, don't get it wrong, God did say we could respond because Jesus responded.
Yeah.
And so he did give us that authority to respond or to have confrontation or to confront. And so he says, first, we go to them. When they don't hear us, you bring your witness. When they don't hear us, you bring to the church. After that, then you, hey, now God gives you the right to do what it is, or let me say it like this, to execute judgment concerning that situation. But oftentimes, folks will come in and try to raise hell in your church because they're disgruntled. And the truth is, and this is what I heard Bishop Jake say last year in the pastor's conference, he said oftentimes people want to use your platform because secretly they're wishing that they were you.
Woo!
And so because they can't be you, they'll come in and raise hell against what God has given you to do, and they'll find a few weak folks in the church who are willing to sign up with them, and then you look up and you have anarchy in your church because the person that you gave your platform to, the person you trusted in your pulpit, has turned against you.
Wow.
And so we have to be careful there. And the truth is, it's happening, Pastor, in all of our churches. It's happening. That's just the reality of it. It's happening. And so we have to be careful of those that we allow to use the space that God has given us. Because oftentimes, those are the people, the main ones, who will stab you in the back and then look you in the face like, what did I do? And I tell you the truth, there's been times where I've been guilty not retaliating like I wanted to, but it wasn't because I didn't think it. I tell you the truth. It wasn't because I didn't think it. Because the old me said, get even. You know, oh, you want to hurt me? Okay, fine. Let me show you how pain is given. You know, and then it's nothing but the power of Holy Spirit that says, okay, he gave me a check in my spirit and said, if you retaliate in your flesh, then I got to judge both of you all.
Wow.
And so that's when it takes if I can use this word, a strong, mature Christian to say, all right, God, you handle this. Because the truth is, Pastor, and you know, like I do, there are times where you want to deal with this thing in your flesh and you want to give folks an old-fashioned beat down and just work it out. You know, that's the truth. You know, and I know where God has brought me from. But here's one of the things the Lord showed me, is that oftentimes when God allows tests to come our way, it is not for our breaking, but it is to show us where we are in him.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? Because I don't know what I can deal with until I deal with it.
Wow.
And so God then will allow me to go through a test or a trial that's going to come, that's going to try my flesh. And so one of the things I've learned is that it helps me know where my flesh is at. If as God allows these trials in my life, now I know where I need to work on. And anybody who's ever known me know that, you know, I mean, I was a straight up NWA. You know, you come in this room, I'm gonna give you some pressure. You know, and you know, being in law enforcement for 14 years, and the truth is, I've always carried a pistol since I was in my early 20s. And so that was my equalizer. You come against me, I break you off. That's all. You know, between me and Smith & Wesson, we'll work this out. You know, but as I've gotten to the ministry and begin to walk more in the call, I kind of understand that it is God showing me where I am. Because one of the things I'm dealing with tomorrow is out of Matthew 18, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do the men say that I am? And so he really wasn't concerned about what the men say, what everybody else said he were, because they weren't Christians. But he wanted to know, how did his apostles see him? And the same question can be applied to us now, is who do we say he is to us? Because we often use the word, and I say this here all the time in my church, that we have to stop using the word of God for just slogans. But if the greater one is really in us, then he's the one that should be shining through us, and not us allowing the devil to use us, and then we blame it on our flesh. Because the truth is, all of us, Pastor, have flesh issues. All of us. I don't care how annoying we are, we all have flesh issues. And the truth is, like Paul said, we are dying daily. Because there are times where I got to tell myself, you bet not. Because you know what you'll do if you do that. You know what's going to happen. You know, and so oftentimes when I confront people about something, I have to wait and get me right first.
Yes.
Because I know when I come, I'm coming hard.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to be me against nobody if we got to testify about it in court. See, my word against the person who ain't here no more. And so I have to get me together and say, Lord, help me, because right now you know me. God, you make me, and if you don't fix this here, I know what I'm going to do.
Wow.
And so, but it's to show me where I am. And oftentimes, this is what we don't do. We come to church, yes, we dance, we shout, and we dance and shout over all the mess that we have not allowed God to help us out in those areas that we don't want nobody to know about. And the truth is, we all, Pastor, we're all dealing with something, all of us.
That's good.
All of us.
That's good.
You know?
Wow.
And so our job is to allow God to show us where we need to improve and help so that we can grow. Because we can't grow unless we begin to mature in areas. The Bible says to walk before God and be perfect. That word perfect means to be mature. And so and there are areas in our lives where God wants us to grow up so that we can help somebody else grow up so that we can present to him a perfect body. And so this is where how I'm learning to deal with it. And now the truth is, does it hurt? Oh, my God, I can't explain to you, heard you say, the tears I cry. You know, I cry when nobody's watching, because the people who are hurting you aren't the ones you would hurt to come from.
Right.
You know, and the bad part is it's the folks who in Jesus' day called the Pharisees, those who you think wouldn't hurt you are the ones who's kicking you in the head, the back, the throat, you know, and trying to tear you down, just catch you down. And I'm learning that it is not that opposition is not going to come. And so my challenge is, how do I deal with it? I posted the other day on Facebook. I said that my response is my responsibility. Because if I respond wrong, because God, who is faithful and just, when God issues our punishment, if we're both wrong, then he gets both of us.
Yeah.
And so if God gonna get somebody's butt, my job is to make sure it's not my behind he get.
That's right.
You know?
That's
and
right.
So this is where, you know, we got to our flesh and say, all right, God, come on, help me here, because you know, Negro want to trip right now. Help me out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
now,
good.
Is it hard? You know, I promise you it's hard. It's hard. It's hard because, especially, Pastor, when you know what you can do. You know, if I know I can whip you, you know, and beat you down real bad, it's even harder on my flesh now, because I really want to do to you what I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah.
But God doesn't give us that leeway.
Wow. Wow, that's good. Yeah, that's powerful right there, because it just brings me back to, like you said, that what I was saying earlier, that I don't want to confront the person because I'm scared of what I might do. You know, I'm scared that I might not be as saved as I thought I was, or I haven't gotten to the mature, you know, as I thought I was, if I grab you by the hair and throw you down. And, you know, it's like, I don't, but if I don't allow myself to deal honestly with that type of response, or even to deal honestly with the fact that I might even want to respond that way, then I can't grow. That's what you just said. Then we can't grow if we don't see the initial response is like, you know what, I just feel like punching them in the face, you know. And if you have that response, then what the Lord is saying to you by that experience, by allowing that persecution to come to stimulate you in that area, is that that's something that hasn't been dealt with yet. That's something that you still yet have to give to God. If you still have, and like you said, I love the fact when you said a lot of us are dancing and shouting, but we're dancing and shouting over mess. And when you said that, I saw in the spiritual realm, I was dancing and shouting, I saw pride, you know, I saw selfishness, I saw backbiting, I saw covetousness, I saw fornication, I saw adultery, all of this stuff, just all these spirits that are just right there in the sanctuary with us as we are praising and dancing and shouting and running and acting like fools for Jesus, when we got all our stuff in the sanctuary with us. But instead of giving that stuff to God while we're in the sanctuary, we pick our stuff up and take it right back out with us, you know, and we don't leave that with God and let God deal. And while we're dancing and shouting, it would be great if we would let God deal with that stuff while we're dancing and shouting and praising, and even when the word comes, because sometimes we dance and shout and praise so hard that when the word comes, we want to sit, folk want to sit down and go to sleep, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to shake them, like, why are you yawning?
I know that's right. They done got tired.
Wake up.
They done got tired.
Now it's not the time to sleep.
Right. Perhaps, you know what? Let me tell you something that God gave to me about a month ago, and I told this to our church. I told them, I said, I think what we have done is that we have gotten it backwards. When we come in God's house, God does not need the word. God who is the word, does not need his word.
Yeah.
So when we come in God's house, our job is to give him praise and worship, because that's the one thing we can give him. He desires worship. He desires to be praised. That's the one thing we can give him. But here's the word. The Bible says those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the question becomes then, what is a spirit? Jesus said, my word, they are spirit and they are life. And so I have to be awake from the word so that when I'm praising him, I know what I'm praising him for. And Pastor, here's one of the downfalls in the church. People come to church, they overstep the word and think that their praising is going to get them through. But how can you praise a God that you don't know? You don't know him. You know about him. But that word know, prophetess, in the Greek means to have intimate relationship with. And here is where the church is missing it. We go to church to soothe our conscience, but we don't really know him. We don't know him. We know of him. We come to church on Sunday morning to get to soothe our conscience, but do we really know him? Most church folks don't know him. They know about him. So we find ourselves like the people in Egypt when the Bible says, who knew not Joseph. And so it is now. We have a generation, Pastor, who people, they don't know God. They have no clue who God really is.
Wow.
God. Because they come to church because they like the music, like the thrill. They come and see their girlfriend, their boyfriend, and their boo. They come to church for all the wrong reasons. But when it's time to learn about the person you say you're praising, that's when they fall asleep. Or they'll find other things to occupy that time. You see, but the truth is you're getting an emotional thrill, and your emotions are being charged, but your spirit, man, is still starving to death.
Wow.
So the Bible says you are tingling breath and a silent shuttle. What you're going through is just emotion. And so
yeah.
I believe in one book the Bible says, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
Yeah.
And so
wow.
This is where we've gotten to. Our hearts are so far from God. Now, we're going do the Christian gymnastics, the Christian acrobats. Yeah, we shouting, falling out, picking out four or five rolls. You know, our wigs falling off. But when it's all done, we still act like hellions.
Yeah.
We still tripping. You know, and the truth is because we have not gotten plucked up that root of bitterness that's on the inside of us. And so we come to church where sick folks should come, but we still go home and we still sick.
Yeah.
That ain't right. You know?
Yeah.
My
yeah.
thing is if I go and see my doctor, when I leave out of there, tell me something. Tell me how I can feel better tomorrow. Well, Pastor,
yeah.
you know, here's what I've come to realize. Most church folk don't want to be healed.
Wow.
Because they've grown, wow. they've grown accustomed to the hurt. And once a person has grown accustomed to the pain and the hurt, they make it a part of their life. Now, let me give you some Bible on that. You recall the man who had a crazy son?
Yeah.
The Bible said, when Jesus asked the boy or the man, said, how long has he been like this? Now watch the man's response. The man says he's been like this since he was a youth.
Yes.
This man had grown so accustomed to his son acting crazy until crazy was all he knew.
Mm.
And so here, Prophet, was the man's prayer. The man asked Jesus, who was the Son of God, said, if you can do anything.
Mm.
He wasn't sure. He said, if you can do anything. Had he known him, Pastor, he'd have said, had he knew Jesus, for sure, he said, come on, I brought him to you. Take care of this. But here's
wow.
the problem. He brought him to his elders, to his apostles, to his preachers, and they couldn't do it. And so now this man's faith was shot down a little lower.
Mm.
Because what he's been dealing with all these years, he's grown accustomed to it and say, you know what? Hey, if you do anything, do it. If not, you know, we go back home. Because the boy's still crazy.
Wow.
And so in church, we have crazy folks in church. They are. Like you said earlier, some folks are just bipolar. They're schizophrenic. The bad problem is they ain't full of the Holy Ghost, and they won't get no medications. And so they come to church, and they trip, you know. But here's my thing, and let me tell it to every pastor. Don't cower down from an attack because you're trying to be so spiritual. Let me give you some Bible. The Bible says, be angry, sin not.
Yes.
And so God gives us the right to be angry and respond.
Yes.
But it is how I respond. I mean, I grab you by the throat, you know, and slam you into a wall. But I can respond to you and let you know how I feel without cussing you out. Now, it ain't that I forgot how to cuss.
Right.
But
I choose
not to cuss you out.
That's right.
Because I tell you, Pastor, in my post or pre Holy Ghost days, I could put them together, put some words
wow.
together back to back. Bless God, you know. And so, not
thank
cussing
God
you is what
Jesus.
I choose. Come on, that's right. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Hey.
Because if not, I know. You see, and so I can be angry. I can confront the issue. God gives us the permission to confront the issue. I can be angry when I confront it. But again, it's how I do it. I can
Amen.
Do it, but do it in the right way. Do it in love. And now their response is on them. Because
yes.
just that I got to do it right. And this is for every pastor, every leader. You learn how to do it right. Rebuke. But the Bible says rebuke in love. And this is what what God requires from us. From our position. But don't cower down because you're afraid that, well, maybe folk won't like me. Pastor, I've come to the grip that, and I told this to our church last Sunday. I said, some of y'all, maybe I ain't great to pastor you. Maybe you came
wow.
here because of the music. Didn't come
wow.
to be pastored. You came because your boo told you to come, and now you're here because of them. Maybe I ain't great to pastor you. And I'm
right.
cool with that. You know,
yeah.
I'm cool with that. You come because you are receiving something from the Word. Here is, Pastor, what the Bible says. The Bible says, God says, where I have planted you, that's the place you'll flourish.
That's right.
If you're under me as your pastor and you're not flourishing, it ain't me. Maybe you are in the wrong yard.
For the wrong church, yeah. Yes.
That's all. this is not your yard. You find your yard where you can grow. I'm sorry, I'm just talking and going on and on.
You're on fire today, amen, and you're helping somebody. You're helping us, and that is just so powerful because it's just the truth. And we have to walk in spirit and in truth, and that's what you were saying. You know, a little hard to hear you because of the feedback. It's like the devil, doesn't want you to see, but I heard you. I was paying attention. We just have to listen a little bit harder. But God is speaking, you know, and he has spoken through you on today. So I just thank God that you took the time out of your busy schedule to call and just inform us that there are so many other factors to be examined while we're looking at what we call our walk. You know, not our church walk, but our faith walk. You know, because in order to walk in relationship with God, we must have faith. That's the only way we can please him. But in order to have faith, we got to know him. And the only way to know him is through his word. So it's not a time to sleep on God, you know, and I just thank God for you calling. Stay with me, Pastor. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons, the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show, and we welcome you today. We're going to be bringing Pastor Amni on for our marriage moments, amen, and we're just excited about what we've been talking about today, and that's just getting it right. So, you know, just basically the bottom line that I've been talking about earlier, and if you just tuned then you want to listen to the archives because Pastor Larry just made some very great points, and I spoke earlier about us as Christians and even Christian women and how we hurt each other and even how church folks sometimes hurt each other and how we hurt the pastor. You just heard it from a pastor's point of view that we as the pastors in the office of pastor, we don't always have it all together. Now, we're people, too. I tell people often that parents are people, too, and pastors are people, too. Yes. We are people, too, and we have our own issues, and we have our own struggles and our own battles. And we're hurt. You know, sometimes we get hurt by the very people that we are called to pastor, that we're called to lead. Oftentimes it's those in the pew that hurt those of us in the pulpit. And you just heard it from a man of God, a powerful man of God out of Chicago, who gave us his perspective and God's word, through God's word, on some of the battles that we have as leadership. But you can call in and let your voice be heard, 646-652-4832, and if you want to, the phone line is lit up, it's packed. If any of you on the phone lines want to speak, you could just press 1, and we'll put you on the air so that your voice can be heard. If you agree or disagree with anything that we've been saying, if you have your own something on your heart, this is the time and the platform for you to begin to let your voice be heard. And I love this forum because we're able to hear from people from everywhere on every topic. So, and for those of you in the chat room, we welcome you. God bless you. A good God bless you to those in the chat room as well. Amen. And we have a comment in the chat room. Pastor Lisa Martin was here. She had obviously stepped out, and she was saying, all right, tell the truth. Pastor Larry, she says, I have addressed this issue also, and she talked about people walking in the flesh and not by the spirit. And Evangelist Cynthia Robinson says, we do not cover one another the way that we should. And she also says, we do not forgive ourselves first and then them that have hurt us. You know, and that forgiveness issue is a big issue that we continue to talk about in the church. And we have to forgive. You know, we have to forgive. Pastor Emily, your mic is still open as well. You know, we have to forgive each other. And, you know, Pastor Larry, you said something so powerful that even as pastors, we are not exempt from being required to exhibit the correct when it comes to dealing with other Christians. You know, we're still saints. We're all Christians. You know, before we're pastors, we're sheep.
Right.
And we're not exempt from being expected, required to walk in love with those that we interact with on a daily basis, you know. And that's something that also has to be dealt with, because God talked about dealing with the pastors. He's going to deal with the shepherds that are leading the flock astray. He's going to deal with the shepherds that are getting fat and off of the sheep, you know, and sleeping with the sheep and stealing the money. God's going to deal with that, you know. So don't think that anyone is exempt just because they have a title.
I know that's right.
Yeah, just because they have a title. God's going to deal with all of us. That's why, Pastor Larry, I respect what you were saying. You're like, you know what, I have to remember I can't deal with them the way that you deal with them, or the way that I might even be have a desire to. That desire could quicken. It could quicken up in you real quick, like, I'm going to. And then you got to sing Holy Ghost. Like you said, the Holy Ghost comes in and says, no, don't do it, you know. That is so powerful that you really helped us today, that we have to deal with our own selves first. And don't be scared. You know, if you feel you're wanting to curse somebody out, don't feel like you're like this horrible person. You know, just know that God's still working on you. You know, a lot of the time, Pastor Anthony, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know. Are you ready for the marriage moment?
Yeah. This is such a stimulating topic. Pastor Larry, as he normally does, opens up just a mighty topic. And even as we are pastors and pastor churches, a lot of people who are not pastors, who are not, quote-unquote, in the fivefold or in the office, deals with what we're talking about, that spirit of witchcraft, that spirit of the warlock, and that spirit of manipulation, whether it's in marriage, whether it's your boss, a manipulative spirit at work, even sometimes in our own families, sometimes we have to deal and contend with this spirit of manipulation. And that's what you were talking about at the outset of the show, how the people have come against you, even those who should know better. But we found out in Timothy that having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, how people will be prideful and selfish and lovers of self. Pastor Larry talked about it so eloquently that sometimes even in our churches, people position themselves because they know that there's a benefit even from what you have built that they can benefit from. Glory, help me, Holy Ghost. It's just amazing whether you're a small or big ministry, even sometimes with a smaller ministry, because you have a small amount of people, they feel as though they can come in, come when they want to come, or do what they want to do, because they can manipulate you because they're the only ones there, for God's sake. And as Pastor Larry said, you still got to hold true to what God has called you to do. Sometimes the person writing the biggest check will try to manipulate, or sometimes the people with the biggest spiritual gift will try to manipulate. And again, it goes to that individual who's dealing with whatever level they need to deal with it on. Sometimes you still have to show restraint, as Jesus did, and not be true to even have empowered to deal with that situation in a whole other way. As Pastor Larry said, he has carried a firearm for most of his life, and he has had that kind of foul mouth. And so many people have come from the world into the church. As you said, Pastor Rebecca, sometimes you wanna respond in the flesh and you can't. So we all need God's help. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that's so true, that we need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Nobody is exempt. Like I said earlier, no one is exempt from exhibiting the proper behavior when it comes to the kingdom of God, because we have to get out of church as people of God, and we have to get into kingdom. You know, we got to press our way out of church, just being church folk, and press our way into kingdom. We have to take our proper position as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Bible says that the whole whole earth is groaning, looking. People are looking for the true sons and daughters of God. People are looking at you. They are watching you. There are people who will never open a Bible, but they're looking at us and they're watching us. And whether you got a title or not, you know, from the pew to the pulpit, from the back door to the front door, if you call yourself a Christian, got a Christian bumper sticker, carrying a Bible, wearing a cross around your neck, confessing the name of Jesus, people are looking at you and they are looking for your God. They are looking for your Jesus. They're looking for something different. People are looking for something different from us than what they've seen and what they see on a day-to-day basis. It is this time for the real sons and daughters of God to really stand up and be counted for real, for real. And if we can't get along with each other, people see that too. You know, when Christians talk about each other, when they talk about the pastors, when pastors talk about each other and compete with each other, people see that. The people see that. And they are judging that. And they are saying, look, wow. You know, especially us pastors, they're saying, pastor can't even get it together. What they want from me?
Come on.
You know?
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. Pastor, I'm in the butt end, but you know what, Pastor, that is so true, because here's what it's saying. If God can't help Pastor, how can God help me?
Mm.
If God can't get Pastor right, then there's no hope for me.
Mm.
You see?
Wow.
But I tell you, Pastor, a scripture came to mind. I believe it is Romans chapter 12, around 17, 18, somewhere in there, where the Bible talks about to recompense no man evil for evil, but we ought to do all things honestly in the sight of men. But I believe somewhere in there it says, if at all possible, to live in peace with all men.
Yeah.
But here's the key verse there. It says, if be possible, because you will not be able to live in peace with anybody. It's just not possible. And the bad part is, it's some church folk you can't live in peace with. Jesus didn't do it. He had the Pharisees and Sadducees come down his throat. Now, the bad part is, Pastor, the world loves Jesus. Those he helped in the world, because remember now, everybody Jesus healed wasn't saved.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, he did most of his miracles outside the church, not in the church. And I think this is where the body of Christ get it twisted. We want to come in God's house and be a wonder when God has put a leader in the house.
Yeah.
Your job is to agree with the pastor, with the leader. You agree with them for God to move. But don't try to be a wonder in something that God has established already in the house.
I'm sorry.
Be willing to submit to authority.
Wow.
But sometimes we have a pastor what's called show gifts. We don't do it for God's glory. We do it because we want to show everybody that, well, you know, I have all this anointing on me. First of all the gifts are for the body of Christ. Every gift.
That's right.
Whether you're a prophet, pastor, gift of healing, gift of tongues, all those are for the body, not to be shown off. It's not for show, but most folks do it for show gifts. And I think here's what most people forget. And I think if pastors teach this, then it'll keep turning that mess down in the churches. That God is never going to grace you with a gift that he hasn't put part of that gift in me. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Question is, who's the prophet? Whoever the leader of the house is. Who's ever the head of the house? You, Pastor Anthony, if you're the head of the ministry, then the Spirit, I don't care what gift is operating in the pew, if you all are the heads, then that gift becomes subject to you. That's Bible. You can't argue with the Bible.
That's right.
And so you are the one who gives the person permission to walk in that authority in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if I came from Chicago to New Jersey, you said, Pastor Larry, come on in. I'm coming in, but guess what? I'm standing right where you take me at. If I go to the living room, I'll stay there all day long until you say, come back here. I ain't moving.
Right.
You know why? Ain't my house. It's your house. It's the same thing in the church. Even the Spirit of God is subject to the prophet of the house. The one in authority, the Spirit of God, is subject to that individual. That's the Bible. God has submitted himself to whoever in authority. That's the word of God. When folks step outside the boundaries of leadership, it's because they want to show everybody else, I am more anointed than the leader. But that's not possible. God will never anoint you greater than me when I'm your leader.
Yeah.
That's not Bible.
Yeah.
Now,
that,
maybe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes, I agree. Yes.
Now, maybe you can do it better than me, or maybe you sound better than me doing it. You know, maybe you have a more thunderous voice, and so your voice carries better, and you say it more eloquently. But as long as I'm the authority of the house, God has put the anointing on me. It's on the leader. And this is why we carry such a heavy responsibility in leadership, because God has given us that authority. And the truth of the matter is, Pastor, even though I know my call to the five-fold ministry, if I came to your ministry, you guys' ministry, my gift cannot operate until you give me permission to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
God does not give me permission to stand up in the middle of church service and say, well, wait a minute, God gave me a word. No, that's out of order.
Right.
That is out of order, and that is not of God. That's called, again, a show gift. I mean, think about it. How in the world can I come to New Creation Christian Ministries and then all of a sudden I want to show off my gift so that I can show everybody I'm the one God has called, not your pastors? No.
Yeah.
That's not God.
The
gift in me becomes subject to the house.
Yeah.
And then when you release it, Pastor Larry, okay, you're a speaker, let God use you. Now I've been released.
Yeah.
To do what God
has
called me to do. That's the word of God, and God never operates outside of his word.
That's right.
I believe it's Psalms 86, I believe it is. God says, I don't change my word, nor do I alter the word that comes forth out of my mouth.
My.
If God don't change, why then do the church folk kind of get all spooky? You know, and I tell you, folks, I can't, oh, God, spooky folks make me itch.
You mean
God can talk to you about what to tell me, but he can tell you how to fix your own house. He can tell you how to come to church on time. He can tell you how to tithe. He can tell you how to do the right things in your own house, but God giving you word for me. Something is wrong there. That's out of order and not the character of God.
Yeah. And I pray people are here.
I feel like I'm preaching now.
Yeah, you're preaching now, sir. And you know what? I pray in the phone lines, again, people are still calling in, and I pray that people are hearing what you're saying, you know, because people are listening. You know, you're really talking about order in the house of the Lord. And what I'm hearing, you know, and in the spirit even, is there's a lot of frustrated, and not just show gifts, but a lot of frustrated gifts out there who and they're frustrated because they have not been taught how to properly come under to be nurtured in that gift so that gift now can be utilized in the kingdom of God. And a lot of times, it's not even that. Also, what happens is you have a lot of, again, you know, I'm always looking at both sides. You have a lot of pastors who are not training up gifts to be nurtured and to be utilized. So, you know, it's a lot going on. So these people now end up leaving the house where they were planted, you know, because I recently spoke to someone who said that their pastor does not acknowledge female preachers, but she's in that house. So now eventually what they do is they end up leaving that house and going to find a house where their gifts can be utilized. And that's a whole another 2 hour topic when you start talking about that, because you can't even touch it. You know, you can't really touch it, because if you do, you know the fivefold ministry gifts were given for the edifying of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, if you got the ministry just coming from the pulpit and nothing's happening in the pews, then you got a house that's out of balance. But then if you have a house that is frustrated, you have a pastor now who now is have to be on his guard because of the many who have come in to try to showcase their gifts and have wrecked the house. and have wrecked the house, or that spirit has come in to build up a ministry within that pastor's ministry. So now that pastor is on his or her guard, trying to guard against this happening again while trying to reconstruct the house, then you have a problem now, you know, because now the devil is all up in there. The devil's all up in that, you know, because you can have somebody innocently coming in, but that person, if there's someone out there and you know you got gifting and you know that God has called you to minister in any particular area that he's called you to minister, and God is saying to you today is to plant yourself in a good house. Get planted in a good house where you know the heart of the shepherd is pure. You know that that's a shepherd that God has led you to. And then as you plant yourself, go ahead and begin to hold up the arms of that shepherd, whether it's through prayer, through your giving, whatever you can do, through serving. If you have to clean the bathroom, I know you call it to preach.
Come on.
But if you have to clean the bathroom or vacuum the sanctuary, keep the church house clean, whatever, you serve the pastor water if you're allowed to do that, because, you know, some people are assigned for that already. Whatever you have to do to uphold and help build up the ministry, you do that, and your gift will make room for you. You don't have to push your way in to begin to say, you know what, I need to preach today. I know I just got here yesterday, but I need to preach today. No, baby. God wants you to come in and let that pastor discern where you come from and whether or not God has called you to that house. You know, and then God will begin to allow that pastor to nurture you in your gift and to mature you in that gift so that you're not one of the people that I talked about at the beginning of the show that come in and wreak havoc in the church. You know, because sometimes out of ignorance and immaturity, we can come into a house and we are anxious. We want to be used, and we know God has called us to be used, but we can wreak havoc because we don't want to come under the submission of, and that's what this pastor is talking about today, that we don't want to submit to the leadership of the house. And there's a lot of that going on, Pastor Larry, a lot of it going on, and it frustrates the leader because the leader has to give an accounting for the souls of each and every individual that's come to sit in the house.
That's right.
And we need to stop. You know what? We need to get back to basics and get back to Jesus. You know, get back to basics and get back to Jesus. And Pastor Larry, we could go on and on, but I have to open up for Pastor Anthony to come in.
Okay.
And do the marriage moments. But we're going to talk about this some more. I'm going to give you a final comment on that, sir. And then we're going to move because I know God. And again, those of you on the phone line, listen, don't wait until the last minute to call in. You can call in 646-652-4832, whether you're in the pulpit or the pews, whether you're in the fivefold ministry gifts or the ministry in the pews, because there is ministry in the pews. Call in and let your voice be heard on this topic. Amen. Hallelujah. Mr. Valerie Allen, I see you there. God bless you. Pastor Larry, I'm gonna let you respond. Amen. And then we're going to open the door for my wonderful husband to come in. Amen. And give us our marriage moments today.
Okay. Let me give this last comment, and you'll find it in Proverbs 27:18. This is for those who are sitting in the church and they're anxious to put their gift forward. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Proverbs 27:18, this is what it says. It says, "Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." Proverbs 27:18. It's in the Bible.
Wow.
If you spend time doing what God has called you to do, and it came to my spirit when you said, you do what God has called you to do until God elevates you. It is God that gives promotion, not us promoting ourselves. When it's God's agenda, it is God who elevates. It's also God who takes one down. But God says here clearly in Proverbs 27:18, if we spend time serving the one in authority, God says clearly, he said, you shall be honored.
Wow.
And so let me encourage those of you all who may have not yet gotten to leadership. If you spend your time serving, and I mean serve with gladness, don't serve grudgingly, thinking that you could be your pastor or whoever. You serve them with all you have. And I'll leave you with this. David was anointed to be the king of Israel at 17 years old. He was anointed by the prophet at 17,
yeah.
The oil flowed. But where did David go after the oil flowed? He went back to the sheep. He went back to the valley because that's where his turning took place. He was then taught by God to serve the sheep. You can't be a leader until you learn how to serve. David went right back to learn how to serve, and by the time he finished his experience in serving, he was ready to be king, but he had to go through the giant first to get there.
Wow.
And so let me tell you this. Anytime God's going to use you in leadership, I guarantee you, you will face a great giant first. And if God can't trust you fighting a giant, I guarantee you, you'll never become a great leader.
Mm, my God.
I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done.
Let the church say, amen. We have been, well educated today, and it's much needed, Pastor Larry. Thank you so much, sir, for letting your heart be heard on that topic, because it's just helped a lot of us in leadership and those of us who are in ministry and those of us who are aspiring to be in ministry. I believe that that was some proper training, equipping for the ministry of the kingdom. So thank you so much, sir, for taking time out to call in. My brother, my friend, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you.
Bless you all. I love you guys. You guys.
Amen. We love you too.
You are the best, indeed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Amney, here you are. Here we are at the last half hour of the broadcast on today. And it's been wonderful. I tell you, it's just been wonderful on today. And I know I'm going to give it over to you, whether you have comments about what was just said and you want to just roll into the marriage moments, whatever you want to do right now. The floor is yours, honey.
Amen. I just want to make three very quick points. Coming from Luke 22 as it pertains to marriage, Jesus talking to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed, Jesus is speaking, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hallelujah. Just three points to married couples today. The first one is give God the glory. Give God the glory. If you've been married for a day, if you've been married for a year, if you have crossed that 10-year threshold, if you've been married for a long period of time, give God the glory. Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants to destroy you, and that's for marriages today. We see that it's not a coincidence that many marriages are ending in divorce. And if you are one on the winning side of marriage, if you and your husband are still together, you and your wife are staying together in spite of the opposition, if you still find yourself being joined together and letting no man put in you thunder, give God the glory. Jesus said, I have prayed. Oh, I feel God on that alone. The Bible says, sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us in the earth. You need to know that somebody prayed for you. And if Jesus got your back, you're going to be all right. So we need to give God the glory in our marriages. People, it is because of God that you're still together. Is your marriage a witness today? Is your testimony about the goodness of Jesus that you have built your house on the word of God? And as the storms come, you are not falling like that house built on the sand. Are you showing people and telling people that the example and purpose of your marriage is only through the will of God? Give God the glory in your marriage, and he'll continue to strengthen you and bless you. The next thing Jesus says to Peter, I pray that your faith fails not. Pastor Larry is just so ironic that he's on the line with us today. He said last week to love your spouse by faith, to believe by faith that your marriage is going to see a better day, to move forward by faith. And we as believers need to put our faith with our feet to the test. Because when we walk by faith and not by sight, when the just shall live by faith, God will honor that, and he will honor your marriage. God will honor your marriage when he has a husband and a wife believing by faith.
That's why the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? And somebody out there saying, Pastor, well, I'm saved and my husband's not saved. I'm saved and my wife is not saved. The Bible says your faith alone is adequate enough to keep that union together until the other person see the light of Christ. So your faith alone, you praying and interceding alone, you falling on your faith and laying your plate down alone is enough power to keep that marriage together. So Jesus said, I pray that your faith fail not. If your faith don't fail, you will not have a failed marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Faith does not fail. It's impossible for your marriage to fail. So you will not have a failed marriage if you continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Finally, he says, when you are strengthened, go and strengthen your brethren. Are you telling somebody your story? Are you sharing your story with someone? Are you telling someone about your victories in marriage? Are you sharing your success stories? Me and my marriage, me and my wife, Pastor Rebecca Prophet, Rebecca have been married for over 15 years. It'll be 16 years in July the 20th. You see that, honey? I remember that anniversary date.
Very good. Very good. And I'm over here. I'm like, woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So sometimes us men, we miss those milestones, and the day gets by us before we get the card, candy, and flowers or take them out to dinner. But we got to tell somebody our story. We got to share our success stories. We got to share our battle victories with the world. Because somebody marriage out there that needs you to have a foursome and sit down with that other pastor couple. Go ahead and sit down with that neighbor. You know they're going through. You know your coworker's going through. Go ahead and invite them to dinner with a strong married couple and start sharing and becoming intimate with that couple that is that close to calling it quits. So go ahead and tell somebody how you got through the storms of life. Go ahead and share how you slept in separate bedrooms and now you're sleeping in the same bed together. Go ahead and share how you were fed up from the head up and you wanted nothing to do with that person, but God softened your heart and you had to sit down with that person and God restored that marriage. So these are the three things I want to share with you. Give God the glory. If your faith don't fail, your marriage won't fail. And go ahead and strengthen that other married couple and share your story with them. Because when you do these three things, you'll get the glory. And we'll know that Peter stood around long enough to speak to the first church. 3,000 got saved, and the rest is history. Because he was not sifted at wheat on this end, he, with the first century church, gave the first word after the fire of Pentecost, and we know the rest is history.
Wow.
When the devil sees, he sees your offspring that's going to be saved.
Mm.
He sees spiritual offspring that's going to get the glory when they sit up under a married couple in a church where there's no scandal with you and your wife. He sees that the future of your ministry and the future of you and your husband are starting that ministry and starting that shelter and being there down the road. Years and decades from now, the devil sees where God is taking you. And if your faith does not fail, God's going to get the glory out of that marriage. So husband, wife, know that your marriage is a ministry that God wants to use in this day. Know that you and your husband, that marriage has a purpose to it. Pastor Rebecca and I are doing things today. We just was falling in love with each other. Just wanted somebody to be faithful. Wanted somebody to grow with and have. We didn't see her writing 5 books to bless the world. We didn't see New Creation Church. We didn't see our children prospering and being in good health. We didn't see the lives that we would impact. We didn't see Woman to Woman Now, Woman to Man show. Only God saw all of this, but the devil, through our blended family, through our second marriage, you got to get to the place where they say 50% of the marriages end in divorce. I'm going to be on the winning side of that 49%. When they say second marriages and some we're up in the 70% second marriages ending in divorce, I'm going to be in that 30-winning percent. And if you go married for the third time, they say it's like 80 to 82% ending divorce, I'm going to be in that 13% that's going to win. I feel God. You better put yourself on the winning team. I don't care what the odds say. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Pastor, that's all I got today. Hallelujah.
Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a shout in the chat room. Amen, hallelujah. My God, my God. You better put yourself on the winning side. My God. My God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Emily, that was just so powerful. You said Satan, the Bible said, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. My God, hallelujah. But he said, I pray for you that your faith would not fail you. My God, married folk, you got to know that Satan desires to terminate your marriage. He desires to sift you as wheat. But Jesus is still yet interceding for us. He's still yet interceding for you that your faith would not fail you. That is just powerful. And immediately, Pastor Emily, we had a hand go up. Area code 201, welcome to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. You're on the air. God bless you.
They got a place for you. Yes.
That's code 201. You're on the air.
Enough for eight people. Enough for eight people to sit me.
Eric, they ordered food. I'm hungry. Order some for me, too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think that person meant to raise their hand, so we're going to take them off the air. But that was just so powerful, Pastor FD, just so powerful. And it's amazing how the devil, when we got married, the devil came against our marriage immediately. We were on our honeymoon. And we just had the biggest fight right there in Jamaica. Right there in Jamaica where I couldn't believe that I had married this man. I was, like, so mad because he, like, on the, we were there for 4 days, and on the third day he said he was ready to go home. And I went off. I went off because, you know, we had a blended family, and when I married Pastor Anthony, he had two little boys, and I knew, and they were going to be living with us, so I knew that I was coming back home, and not just to be a wife, but to be a new mother again, because my daughter, whom I had when I was 16, my oldest daughter, was already grown and out of the house. So I was like, I'm going home to two little kids that need a mother. And it was even more than being a wife, but I said, just give me these 5 days in Jamaica. You know, just to give me these days in Jamaica and let me not even think about going home. But he was ready to go home. And I went off on him. How could you ruin my honeymoon? How could you talk about going home? We just got here. It's not over. And I was crying. And he just looked at me like, what in the world have I just done? I married this woman. This woman is crazy. You know, he probably was thinking I should have fainted at the altar. Because Pastor Emily tried to faint at the altar. And, you know, the devil was busy. You know, he was just really busy in those early days of our marriage. And the fight did not stop in Jamaica. We came home and we fought for the next 7 years. I mean, argument after argument. You know, I tried to get physical with him. Y'all know the story if you've been listening for a while. You know, I wanted to push and shove him around because my parents fought, and all I knew was fighting. And I thought fighting was the way it was supposed to go, and, you know, and arguing at him and yelling at him and tearing down my house with my mouth and, you know, just miserable by myself and wanting him to be miserable with me. So it was a hard 7 years, and not that he was perfect. But he was better than me, y'all. I tell you, he was better than me because I was a hot mess. I was a hot mess. But I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. You know, I thank God that when I kicked the man out and told him to get out, and don't you ever, don't come back ever. I don't need you. I don't need you. When I yelled at him like that and told him to leave and put my hand on my hip and let my neck go around the world, my head go around my on my shoulders and, you know, pointed at him and put my finger in his face and pushed him in his chest and, you know, just told him I don't need him and, you know, and, you know, I don't know why I married you. And just said all kinds of crazy stuff to him. I thank God that this man of God did not leave, that he stood. That he stood on his assignment to love the hell out of me, to love all of that hell that the devil had put up on the inside of me. He stood on his assignment to love the hell right up out of me, where I became the woman that God wanted me to be. Amen. Where I was, you know, I was just mean, just mean. You looked at me, you saw, all you saw was hell in my eyes. You know, I was just so mean and so angry and so bitter and so, you know, just so hateful, you know. And he stood. And that was basically the first 7 years of my salvation, first 7.5 years of my salvation, the first 5 or so years of our marriage, but we were in relationship from the beginning, you know. So he put up with that for over 7 years. And like I said, he wasn't perfect. He was cold. You know, he had his own anger issues. But I was much worse than he was. But God put us together, and the two started trying to become one. And Satan wanted to sift us as wheat from the very beginning. But I thank God for Jesus and for Jesus standing in the gap, interceding for us, you know, interceding for us so that we would not, so our faith that we could have a happy marriage, our faith that we could give God the glory in our lives, our faith that we could have a prosperous life, our faith would not fail us. And here we are, like Pastor Emily said, here we are almost 16 years later, and it is good. I mean, it is really, really good. Our marriage is really good, and I just thank God for what he has done in us and through us. And that my husband is doing the marriage moments on this show and just so powerfully preaching this word to us, letting us know that marriage can work. So thank you so much, Pastor Emily. I mean, powerful, just powerful.
Amen, and it goes in line with the earlier part of your show. When we make Jesus the center of our life, people don't realize our common denominator was Jesus. Those moments you got frustrated with me, the moments where you put me out and I really wanted to go in my flesh, we had the greater one on the inside of us. As Pastor Larry said, it's not just a slogan or cliche. And when people realize that they have the greatest one on the inside of them, there are things in this world you can endure. So I just thank God that you and I, we do teach, if you build your house on the word of God, it can't fail.
Yeah.
So if you're listening today and you know, if you do have that form of godliness, as Pastor said, and it's not real to you, you wreaking havoc in people's lives, for those of you who know better, still bringing hell to people's lives, get it right with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know better. You know better. You know, we know better. And that was my thing, you know. And I can only, that's why I guess the Lord trusts me to minister in this area, because I knew better back then. You know better. Every time you do something wrong, you get a conviction in your soul. You know, it's like, you know, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And the devil will tell you, well, so what? You know, a lot of people are wrong. But God is saying today, when you get that conviction, it's not for you to look in the mirror and see that you were wrong, but it's to look in the mirror and do something about it. Just like you would look in the mirror and fix your hair or fix your clothes. And that's a whole nother topic about clothes. You know, a lot of us really need to fix our clothes when we look in the mirror, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But just like you would look in the mirror and fix your hair, fix your clothes, hopefully, you need to look in the mirror and fix your behavior. And fix your behavior. And that's what God kept messing with me. I was miserable because he kept messing with me. God kept allowing the devil to taunt me until I looked in the mirror and began to fix my behavior. And one day it clicked. God was like, this man, you're going to tell this man to leave. And one day he's going to leave. Because I looked in Pastor Anthony's eyes one day, and I saw in his eyes, he was like, I'm out of here. He was like, I'm out of here. And that thing scared me because I didn't want my man to leave. You know, and I wrote about it in Nobody's Business, how Clara pushed Jason and pushed Jason and told him to leave, and one day Jason left. And I was like, I don't want him to leave. And Clara was like, he wasn't supposed to leave, but you kicked him out. And so many women are like kicking their men to the curb and then looking at him saying he wasn't supposed to leave. But you told him to leave. You know, either you're crazy or you think he's crazy. And that's what it was like with me. I was crazy and I thought he was crazy. I'm telling him to leave, but really didn't want him to leave. And he showed me one day in his eyes, I saw that he wanted to leave. That for the first time in our relationship, I saw that this man wanted to get out. And it clicked something on the inside of me that said, you know what, I don't want my man to leave. This is a good man, you know, and I don't want him to leave. And we need to, those women out there, you know you have a good man, whether you're married to him yet or not. Stop kicking him out. Stop pushing him away. Stop freezing him out. Stop telling him to leave with your words, your behavior, you know, your attitude. You really don't want him to leave. So you need to check yourself, as I said earlier, and go ahead and correct yourself. Amen? Because you really don't want that man to leave. Because the one man's trash is another one woman's trash is another woman's treasure. Amen? One woman's trash is another woman's treasure. And you may realize that he was a treasure, and it will be too late because somebody else will have picked him up from the sidewalk where you threw him out and you know, cleaned him up and helped him to get over you. Amen. And then the door has been closed. So treat that man right. Treat him good. You know, treat your husband like he deserves to be treated. Respect him. Honor him. Love on him. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, that's so powerful, and that's what God is looking for in this hour, to worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship him with our marriage. We worship him when we have integrity on our jobs. We worship him when we get our houses in order. But more importantly, we worship him when we get our lives in order. Because how can you worship him if you got a weight and a burden on you every day? How can you worship him if you're still nasty and lying? How can we really worship God if we still got issues from our teenage years or our adolescent years or that first marriage? How can we worship him unless we're free to worship him?
Wow.
So, as you said, Pastor, when we look into the mirror, he showed me my anger. He showed me a whole family of angry people that I came from. He showed me how cold my heart can be. So for him to show me that, it ain't just to say, okay, this is who I am. No, this is who you are, and this is what you need to change. So don't accept it if it's not of God. And that's just who I am. They just go, no, baby. That's not what he wants. The real you is the new creation. The real you is the one that he called from the mother's womb. The real you is the one he originated to be, the one of God. Not the one through your bad experiences that made you cold and angry, or that person that raped you and molested you. Now you have a chip, you don't trust men at all. Not the one that's a homosexual or lesbian. The real you is the one that's supposed to be real godly, turning this world to a real God.
Until that
real you come out, work on you with your fear and trembling so the real you can be exposed to this world. I had issues. I still got issues. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's a crazy report right there.
I felt that one. My God. Wow. Wow, powerful, powerful, honey, and they're getting some feedback in the chat room. Amen. I'm loving this segment, Minister Valerie Allen. God bless you to everybody in the chat room. We only have 7 more minutes. We want to let you know we have a midweek service also. You can tune in on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock. It's just 1 hour right now with the audio. Later on we'll be streaming video. But you can tune in for 1 hour on Wednesdays from 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. Listen, phone lines are open. You still have 7 minutes to call in, 646-652-4832. I know you all just love hearing us talk. But I'm going to let Pastor Larry weigh in on this topic. Amen. Pastor Larry, your mic is open. I know you have something to say to weigh in on this topic.
Oh, my Lord. I was really enjoying Pastor Anthony because he was hitting it cold and to the point. But he's absolutely right. When we are going to try to do it God's way, I mean, it's going to take a considerable effort on both parts to make any marriage work, because here's the one thing we must understand when it comes to marriage. We are two people that are imperfect. Both of us got our issues. I got some, you got some. The problem is, in a dating session, we always show the other person. I often tell our church that it's two of everybody. Every one of us is two of us. It's our public face and our private face. It's the same thing in marriage. It's the person you meet. They have to be crazy to show you their crazy side first. They're going to show you the sweet side, the loving side, the caring side, and how much they can do for you and how great you are. But it's that person you're going to meet after you say, I do. And you're going to one day wake up and see Barilla in the bed and go, oh, my God, who is this? Well, this is the other them. And that's the one you really got to find out, is this the one I can live with, you know? And so this is why I always encourage couples, before you get married, counsel. Get marriage counseling. Because in marriage counseling, one thing I tell them coming in, Pastor, is that when I counsel you, I'm counseling you to not get married, because I'm not in love with him or her like you are. And so I'm going to ask the hard questions. I'm going to ask questions that's going to make you uncomfortable. You know, the thing that he or she wants to know, but you haven't told him yet. Those are the questions I'm going to ask. You know, because from a male perspective, I know what men look for. And so when I bring in Lady Carol, she asks the questions that she knows women are looking for, so that we can get to the truth of the matter. And so once we say I do, nobody's caught by surprise.
Wow.
So if I find out you are nut before you get married, if you still mad at the person, then don't trip. The person was crazy before you said I do. If you're going to marry a fool, don't trip when the person becomes what you already knew they were. You know?
Yeah.
And so this is, to me, that's powerful. But, you have, again, coming into a relationship, you must understand that we are two imperfect individuals. And we both have our flaws, both have our differences. But when we have both have Holy Spirit, this is what he's there for, to help us work through. And I said in the chat room that I was glad Pastor Anthony got it right. Just the years and the date. I was like, my man, yes. God bless him.
Amen.
Because I said, boy, it'd be cold tonight. You say that wrong. But,
amen. Praise the Lord.
God,
thank you so much, Pastor Larry. I tell you, it's just been powerful. And that was just so powerful what you both said. And Pastor Larry made a great point there, that you want to find out who you're marrying. This is for the single folk out there. Find out who you're marrying, who you're going to marry before you get married. Get your counseling on the front end. Before you say, I do, go to marriage counseling. And I suggest that you go to a psychologist as well together and have an evaluation, a marital evaluation, to see if you both are psychologically sound in order to enter into a marriage. And if you find out a person is crazy during this process, then you probably want to hold off before you marry them. And you do want to hold off so that they can get the help that they need before you marry them. But if you go ahead and marry them anyway, then you had better get ready for the turbulence that will surely come as a result of you marrying a crazy person. And your story might not end up as good as mine. I was crazy when I married my husband. I admit it. I was saved, had been saved, but I was not yet totally born again. The new creation had not been birthed out. Amen. So now I'm telling you that I was crazy, and he had to go through that process with me. So if you marry a crazy man, women, or a crazy lady, for the men out there, and you know she's crazy, get ready, and get ready to be on your knees praying that she will become a new creation, amen, because you're going to go through something. If you know they're crazy already from the door, then you might be crazy too because you're in for it if you go ahead and marry them. Amen. Don't get desperate. This is no time to get desperate. Amen. Well, we only have 1 minute left. Pastor, I mean, this last minute, did you have anything else that you wanted to add for our listeners as we get ready to go off the air?
I just want to say keep continuing to trust God in every area of life. We're in a day where we really got to put our total faith, our total trust in God. As you go, support your local ministry tomorrow. Pastor Larry and you talked about the church. We do need to get on one accord, New Creation Church in Chicago. If you're part of a ministry, go ahead and use that gift to strengthen that ministry. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. This has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons and Pastor Anthony Simmons, and you've been tuned in to the Woman to Woman, the Woman to Man show. We thank you and we praise God for each and everyone who took time out of your schedule to listen. Join us on Wednesday for our midweek service at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We pray periodically throughout the week. Follow us on Facebook in order to see when I'll be going forward in prayer. And also join us next weekend right here on the Woman to Woman, the Woman to Man show. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. Pastor Emily, God bless you, Pastor Larry. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate you.
Yes, God bless you all so much.
Amen. Well, go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, and we'll see you right here next week. And remember, there's nobody greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody greater than our Lord.
Mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went out into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare. To your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find no God. I looked high and low. Still couldn't.
Lift your hand and say that with us tonight.